Hello, welcome to another Cheap Shot Wrestling podcast. This is episode number 6.
Yeah, we are on 6 now.
I'm Matt Bass and I'm with Ben Bowles.
I'm here, look. It's me again.
Ben's back.
Well, like every week.
Every week, we're both here. Still talking absolute nonsense about wrestling. This nonsense we're going to be talking about this week is to do with 205 Live. No, I was about to say Cruiserweight Classic. 205 Live, and that's part of the problem with it. But we're talking about 205 Live. Ups and downs, you could say.
Yeah.
Good points, bad points. Good, too bad.
We've been fair about it, though. So one
how
of
many other kind of names of programs and
other things.
Web shows can we name?
But Matt, we've split this up. So Matt has the job or the very easy task, I would say. This is quite a biased opinion, but the very easy task of picking all the good the bad points of 205 Live.
We're quite a pessimistic couple of people, aren't we? And up with the bad points was not that hard.
No, unfortunately not.
Although, having said that, though, my bad points could be kind of summed up into my last point, so...
which we'll get to.
Yeah.
And I've taken on the opportunity of... which, again, wasn't too hard, but it definitely took a bit of thought... was the good points of 205 Live. So things they're doing right and things I think that are going to be promising in the future and if they carry on the show the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I mean, I think you've got 3 points and I've got 3 points as well.
Yeah, I had to limit you to three points. I had 3 points that I came up with and I said to you, it's just 3 each.
Honestly, actually. I mean, the thing is, we're being very pessimistic about this, but in all honesty, 3 points was like... I struggled because I thought, is this just going into the next point? Is this just a kind of, you know, splinter point from the other one? But we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go start with the first good point. What's the first good point about 205 Live you believe they're doing correctly? What do you think they're doing correctly?
First point, and this is quite a strong one. It gives screen time to talents that would otherwise get lost. And what I mean by get lost is just disappear into the actual main roster of Raw and SmackDown. There would be talents that would, if there wasn't a Cruiserweight Championship, for example, they would have very limited options for what they could compete for.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them could go for US and Intercontinental titles, but I mean, really, a lot of them, you'd look at it and think, it would be wasted talent. So 205 Live gives them a platform to either, like, both develop stories between each other, develop feuds, have good face and heel turns that actually mean something rather than it just being like, oh, it's just some dude that no one really sees on SmackDown every week. Or Raw, but it actually gives people stories, and it's a genuine platform that shows some good wrestlers.
Yeah.
So they get their time, they get an hour to show off what they can do.
I agree, yeah. I mean, there are people like Kalisto, I don't know why Kalisto isn't part of it. There was one of those things where when they announced the Cruiserweight division, I remember them saying, like, and Kalisto got drafted to SmackDown. People like, the hell? Like, Kalisto is probably the most talented Cruiserweight you have currently, and you put them on SmackDown where the Cruiserweight division doesn't exist. I do agree. It brings a lot of opportunities to the talents. And, you know, on Raw, they only have 2 matches. I think it's 2 matches or 2 segments or whatever.
Usually, per
show.
And then it's always, like we've talked about before, it's always segregated away from the actual show.
Yeah, but they have their 2 segments, and so the potential is for only 2 matches. Theoretically, if both of those matches were tag team matches, that's 8 people, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, then there's a lot more people than 8. So you kind of think, who's going to, you know, win the lottery as such this week and get a match on Raw as opposed to just a match on 205 Live?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I do think by having this 205 Live show does give them the opportunities, because if there wasn't a 205 Live show, it would just be those 2 matches on Raw. And so there would be less opportunities for the other people in the roster.
Because the Cruiserweight title, if it didn't have 205 Live, would not have the meaning it has now. It wouldn't have like the gravitas of what it is. Because they don't have that. They wouldn't have this hour to build stories between each other and build characters for themselves. Yeah. Because obviously to a lot of the WWE audience, they're quite unknown people. But obviously there are the people that go, oh, they're indie darlings. They're great. Mm. We've seen them in matches before. But for a lot of people that are WWE fans, that's not a reality. They don't know who these other wrestlers are. So this 205 Live platform gives them an hour to a lot of them might have the network. So it gives them an hour to just sit down and go, I wonder who these guys actually are. Because, I mean, for the casual WWE fan, they might know who Brian Kendrick is and Tajiri.
Mm. Some of the older ones would,
But they won't know who Akira Tozawa is or Noam Dar.
No.
or even Cedric Alexander.
Yeah.
So yeah, 205 Live. To be fair,
the first time I saw Cedric Alexander was on CWC.
It was for me as well.
I'd never seen him before. There was a whole bunch of them on Cruiserweight Classic that I'd never seen before. I'd never actually seen, and it's going to be like internet marquee wrestling fans being like, oh my God, no. Mm. I'd never seen Zack Sabre Jr. have a match before
he was
in. No, because I'm not much of an indie fan, really. I mean, I've tried to get into more of it recently.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some really good stuff out there. But, you know, when the CWC was on, I really didn't watch anything.
That's what opened your eyes to new wrestlers. Yeah. Like, these other wrestlers that people are going, oh, I've seen him before. So there were a bunch of people.
But that's the thing, though. Like, seeing Zack Sabre Jr. in that, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then there were some other people in the show that I was like, they're really cool as well. And then when you see, like, you know, What Culture Pro Wrestling doing a show on and online, I'm like, well, I want to watch that because it's got Zack Sabre Jr. in it, or Will Ospreay, or Ricochet, or someone like, and I'm like, these people that I'd never really watched before, now I'm like, bloody amazing.
Because they've made, the good thing about that as well, they've made it easier to see these sorts of people. And that with the Cruiserweight Classic, it made it easier for a lot of people that maybe couldn't watch New Japan Pro Wrestling.
So it's like, thanks Triple H for opening my mind to something other than WWE. Which is, you know, a line I don't think anyone would have been saying a few years ago. Thanks Triple H for opening me up to indie wrestling.
Yeah, for showing me the ropes. And
most people would assume the reason why he's opening me up to indie wrestling is because of the fact that I'm sick and tired of WWE. But
well, like, you
actually isn't. It actually isn't that.
No, the thing is, it's like, I'll try and watch Ring of Honor every week. I like Ring of Honor. A lot of what they do there is really good. It's done differently to WWE, but it's still very watchable. Yeah. And I really enjoy it. And it's stuff like, I've then tried to branch out to New Japan. It's a bit of a tougher watch in New Japan because it's less, there's no real underlying stories for most things.
Yeah.
They have a lot, but that's fine. There's
lots of exhibition matches.
Yeah, they have a lot of showcases and stuff like this, where matches that don't mean anything, but they're kind of just showing off talent that they have at their disposal. That's great. And yeah, I think taking the WWE doing the Cruiserweight Classic and taking a lot of these wrestlers, putting them in a WWE sort of style event.
Yeah.
But this event had a very indie feel.
Mm.
And then that sort of that branching into 205 Live, I think's worked, but like you've had the job of, there are some issues.
There are some issues.
And I want to get to your first point.
My first main gripe with the 205 Live is it being after SmackDown.
Oh, yeah. No.
Because it's after SmackDown, that creates like some inconsistencies, I think, is the problem because of it being on SmackDown. So, firstly, you've got the ring stuff and the referee. The referee is a SmackDown referee.
It looks strange.
You've got the ring posts. There's god-awful, massive ring post cover things they've got, which are blue.
Yeah.
In it, and have the SmackDown kind of stuff on them.
Oh, you with the blue lightning.
The kind of big cover things that go around the posts.
Yes,
They've got like blue on the side of them. And you're like, well, that just makes sense. Not even in the colour scheme of the purple, right? It's close, but it's not quite there. Then you've got the commentators. So you've got SmackDown-led commentary through Mauro, which to me doesn't make much sense. Of course, Mauro moves to Raw, in which case it would make a lot more sense. I think if he moved to Raw, and then you had Mauro and Corey on commentary on 205 Live as well as Raw, that would make sense.
Yes.
But I suspect that if Mauro moves to Raw, what will end up happening is the commentary on 205 Live will become Tom Phillips. Like, that's the thing. Because it's after SmackDown, it's still SmackDown-ish. And everything about it feels very SmackDown. And yet... They're supposed to be Raw superstars.
They are,
You know, the Cruiserweight division was exclusive to Raw. And I think this is one of the problems. It's just like, by being after SmackDown, you have to advertise it in SmackDown. So you've got SmackDown commentators going, you know, coming up later after SmackDown, 205 Live, here's a promo from Gentleman Jack Gallagher. You know, well, he's a Raw superstar. So what's Raw superstars doing on SmackDown saying, hey, watch our show after this? It doesn't make any sense in that sense.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's so cutting off.
So from a kayfabe way,
yeah,
it doesn't make sense. Now, obviously, I can see it from a logistical point of view. You have 3 hours of Raw. You don't want to then do a whole hour of Cruiserweights after that.
I mean, there's an hour of Raw that isn't even broadcast.
Exactly.
So the actual in-house audience, but the crowd that are there, they're going to be there for a long time if 205 Live's there as well. I genuinely think,
actually, this is going on to the next point. This is what I was saying about the fact that I kind of come up with something when I was coming up with these points, I'd come up with something and then be like, oh yeah, and that, and then I'd be like, that's a different point altogether. So I'll go on to that a bit after. Okay. I had a thought, okay, but I'll leave it for a sec. But yeah, so go on, being off to SmackDown, it just, I think the crowd are a bit tired out. I think that's the problem with Raw, in all honesty, by being 3 hours. People, the crowd are a bit knackered from, you know, the show. I mean, we watched Cruiserweight Classic. We watched 205 Live.
You keep calling it Cruiserweight Classic. You've got to stop.
That's one of the problems. Yeah. My, with the, you know, the purple and the graphics and all that sort of stuff, it makes me jump to Cruiserweight Classic. Because that's what I associate the purple with, not 205 Live.
It's also because they keep calling it the Cruiserweight division and not, and they don't call it the 205 Live roster or anything like that.
They don't emphasize 205 Live as a name enough.
Yeah, so you hear Cruiserweight roster and you go, oh, Cruiserweight Classic. No, 205 Live.
Yeah, so my point is that Cruiserweights are Raw exclusive and they're being promoted on SmackDown. And the commentators are all wrong. I mean, not the commentators are all wrong.
The team's just great.
The team is actually the best possible commentary team.
Yes.
The problem is that it's a mishmash of different things. You've got SmackDown-led guy, and then you've got Corey, who's great, but he's Raw.
Yeah.
And then you've got Austin Aries, who's Austin Aries, doing whatever it is he's doing.
He's doing something great, though.
You know, I mean, he's probably going to end up moving into, you know, wrestling again without commentary. And so if he's doing that, I hope they don't replace him. I hope they just keep it as a two-man commentary team.
Mm.
And then, arguably, if Mauro did then move to Raw and then stop doing the 205 Live show that is Raw-based, then they would have Tom Phillips in there. But Tom Phillips and Corey Graves, as seen from NXT, are a good team.
They've worked really well together.
You know, those two are good. So actually, if it was that situation, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. But yeah, that's the reason why I have a problem with it being after SmackDown. I think it needs to be its own show that's done separately. I think what would be great, actually, would be if it was on a Wednesday, because then you could have it on the same day as NXT. You could do an hour of 205 Live and then go straight into an hour of NXT. And that'd be a great Wednesday night block.
Yeah, no, that would be really good as
well. So I think that would work better. What is your next good point?
The good point, to bring it back from that, I totally agree with you though. There is obviously, that is a big issue for 205 Live. But looking at the actual content of the show, rather than just sort of where it is and who's involved, the actual content of the show and what they're putting in that hour, like the stories, I talked about it earlier in my first point, but the stories are young. What I've written down is the stories are young but promising. So at the moment, the stories are quite basic. It's very much, we've seen between Cedric and Noam Dar, it was very much just they're fighting over a girl. Seen it a million times.
Yeah.
But it's executed really well because of who's involved. Mm. It's given Alicia Fox something to do, I guess. But the main focus of the whole story...
She feels a bit lonely on 205 Live.
Doesn't she just? She's not going to wrestle a match ever again, poor girl. She probably should, though, but hey.
Maybe they should bring in some Cruiserweight women.
she's involved in this anyway. But the story was more focused on Noam Dar, Cedric Alexander. Those two can put on a great match. It more just gives them a context to have that match in.
I think that's one of the problems that's been... I think when I was thinking about this, I was thinking like, with the women and cruiserweights, there is a sort of parallel in over the last few years. Whereas with the women, a few years ago, it was all about style over substance. They weren't necessarily good wrestlers. They were just eye candy. And they're all gimmick and, you know, having silly feuds about just nonsense stuff that didn't really make any sense. You know, look at Piggy James, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, crap like that. So it's like, it was all about style over substance, but now they've moved across to actually doing some good matches.
Having actual feuds.
And actually bringing in the technical side as well as the personality side.
Exactly.
And with the cruiserweights, they were all technical. It was all like brilliant, high-flying, jumpy around, do all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But the gimmicks and the characters weren't really there. And I think that was one of the early problems with 205 Live, was that you sort of felt like it was a bit clinical. Like there wasn't any real, why am I watching this? Why, you know, like, why am I watching this match specifically? What's bringing me into this story?
Oh, you mean for CWC?
No, for 205 Live.
Oh, right, okay.
For 205 Live, the original point was like, you kind of looked at, well, why am I being brought into this story?
Yeah.
And of course, you know, that's where the gimmick and stuff comes in. And I think they're starting to now bring that in. I Jack Gallagher's been very, very good for that.
Yeah.
Because he's good at putting on wrestling, but his character is fully formed and it's right there.
He's really evolving as well.
Noam Dar, he's getting a good kind of creepy...
yeah.
You do the creep character. And, like, that's fine. You know, he's doing a good character there.
Mm.
I think some of the people who might drop off the side because they haven't got so much of a character may be someone like Cedric Alexander, because he is, you know, great wrestler and puts on fantastic matches. But, I mean, I don't know really anything about him necessarily. No,
it's almost as well, like, in those sort of situations, with WWE especially, gimmicks will win over your technical prowess.
Yes, in a lot of ways, yeah.
Yeah, so with Cedric, he might be drowned out by these other characters that are forming. So you've got now called, which I'm okay with, Gentleman Jack Gallagher. Gallagher, whoever you want to say it.
Jack Gallagher.
Gallagher. That's great. Like, he's obviously, it's a forming character.
Shameless.
It's a forming character, and it's coming into its own now. And he's also a brilliant technical wrestler. He's kind of got both worlds, whereas Cedric's kind of lacking in the character side of it.
Yeah.
Great technical wrestler, but he's kind of falling down. And it's like you think about it, he was almost at the top of the cruiserweight division. He's now, he's kind of falling.
I would say there is a positive in the gimmicks and storylines that they're putting together are actually starting to come together, and it's good to see that.
They're fixing these sorts of problems where people are drowning away. These storylines are giving people something. They're giving them... It's just, like I said, it's the context for the match.
Yeah.
If you're just having random match here and there for no real reason, you get less interested. There's no real impact of the actual winner of the match. Whereas if you do add these storylines, and they can be goofy sometimes, people can get disinterested by certain stories that come up. But they do help. They add a certain thing to it. They add a flavour to the match.
I'd agree with that.
Mm.
My next bad point.
Let's move on to the negatives.
We can't be positive all the way through this. I need to bring it back down to earth. specifically, I need to bring it back down to Florida. Because my next point is it should be moved to Florida.
We've talked about this.
It shouldn't be done in a big arena. I think it suffers from the same problem in a different way, but a similar problem to what NXT used to have when it was back doing a reality show.
Yeah.
You'd have a half-filled stadium or arena or whatever. You'd have a half-filled arena. Or you would have a very tired arena in the case of 205 Live, where you've got people dropping off and kids who are going, you know, who are kind of done from sitting around for 2 hours watching wrestling. Watching a very good show of SmackDown, but then kind of going, I'm worn out now.
There's no visual interest from the audience.
Yeah, so they end up kind of going, and then there's, you know, the crowd don't kind of get into it as much. And I think it would benefit massively from going down to Florida, going down to Full Sail. This also, what I was saying before, this is what leads in with the moving it to Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
Because you could do it at Full Sail, and then, you know, you've got an hour of Full Sail 205 Live, and then an hour of Full Sail for NXT. And it's a great little venue because of the fact that it's intimate, it's smaller, you know, the hardcore fans and such, the marquee fans are there.
Yeah.
And, you know, they love all this stuff. And the 205 Live kind of concept is, you know, obviously everyone loves it because it's a great kind of style of wrestling.
Yeah.
But, you know, the you do get sort of more raucous crowds, smaller but raucous crowds at Full Sail.
Yeah, you
do. I think part of it is probably you find a lot of them are students.
Likely, yeah.
They're students at the university and they're like, yeah, wrestling, let's do this, you know. And then you get the odd kid from the local Florida area.
I would agree with you as well, because if you put it down in Full Sail, you can obviously still keep them on Raw.
Yeah.
And still have them appear on Raw every now and then. But that jump up to Raw then adds something to it. There is a bit more gravitas to them going from sort of Full Sail. Oh, this match is going to be featured on Raw in front of a live crowd. It's like, that's great.
Mm.
Obviously, 205 Live is live.
The only problem is, is the fact that it would mean, let's say, Mauro and Corey doing another day of work going down to Florida.
Yeah,
I don't know what their schedules are like. Maybe we could work it out. I'll give Mauro a call.
I'll check him up.
But no, I think, to be honest, if what I said earlier about, you know, Mauro moving to Raw and Tom Phillips doing 205 Live, well, we've seen Tom Phillips and Corey Graves do commentary together down at Full Sail up until very recently.
Yeah. But this is the thing.
And it wouldn't have Percy Watts in there. So that would be a positive.
Oh, yeah, no. I could do a full show talking about how bad Percy Watts
is. We won't go on to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's my point about moving to Florida.
No, I do agree with that. That is it would be a smart move. Because, I mean, the only issue that really arises from that is, the commentary team, it might be a bit tough on them. And you go, we'll change it then.
Yeah.
Have it be more adaptive to the actual show and change the commentary team for the sake of the actual show itself.
Mm.
So there isn't travel issues between the commentary team. Because if it was the wrestlers having a travel issue, then yeah, totally understand.
Well, actually, the wrestlers wouldn't have that much of a problem. Because
no, it wouldn't be that much of a problem.
They'd have a day between Raw and the 205 Live.
Exactly.
And so, and then they would also be, you'd be able to say, right, the Cruiserweights can be based down in Florida.
Yeah.
They can wrestle on NXT as well, because they're down there anyway.
Where the UK Championship also is as well.
They could even, if they really wanted to, change NXT to be live.
I mean,
they could make NXT live and then do it every Wednesday night. And so they could do an hour of 205 live and then straight after go into more live wrestling.
Do you know what? That might be NXT. My favorite point. I like that.
That's
really,
really cool.
Like that. Yeah. Having NXT like you could, even if they want to do the whole WWE thing of just chucking live at the end of the name. Okay, that's fine with me.
WWE NXT Live.
Because NXT Live doesn't sound that bad.
Well, actually, NXT Live, I think, is the name of their live events tour series.
Oh,
anyway,
is it? Yeah. Okay. Oh, like WWE Live.
Yeah, and NXT Live, whatever. Yeah, but anyway, moving to Florida, I think, would benefit them a lot. And that's one of the problems, I think, with them is being in these two big arenas. What's your final good point?
My final good point? I'm going out on a high.
Yeah,
and it's because basically it's just the bare bones of it. It's great high flying and technical wrestling.
Mm.
It's good to see that on a WWE product.
Yeah,
you don't get to see it so often on the main shows. I mean, it is there.
Yeah,
there's obviously, and also AJ Styles is a big like sort of proprietor of this.
Yeah,
and he's been the world heavyweight champion or the WWE champion.
Mm.
But yeah, it's good to see a show dedicated to that sort of thing. NXT has had its moments with that. Mm. It's flirted with high flying wrestlers as their main roster.
Yeah.
But yeah, an entire roster dedicated to high-flying and very technical submission-based wrestling. That great blend of those on one show, I can't fault that. I quite like that.
I think the main shows get bogged down a little bit too much sometimes in these like big Goliath versus Goliath matches where it's like, you know, Braun Strowman versus Big Show happened recently.
It was the main
event.
So
it's like,
you
know, that was just a match which I just... couldn't watch.
And you got bored and stopped.
I got bored earlier in the show, to be honest, because Raw has been getting like that a bit sometimes.
Mm.
I don't find that with SmackDown. I watch SmackDown all the way through every week, and I love it. I think it's great.
Well, like we argue, it's a two-hour show.
Raw,
it's easier to digest.
But Raw, I do sometimes get that. But I watched it the next day on catch-up and ended up just skipping through the match because I was just like, oh god, this goes on for 20 minutes, I'm not watching this.
No,
you know. And so I think, yes, I agree, sometimes it can get a bit bogged down with the big matches, and it's nice to see 205 Live as a dedicated show to the Cruiserweights.
It's
and
focus,
to,
yeah,
so say that the biggest this person's ever going to be is 200 pounds, you know.
And the thing is, the good thing about that point is that if it is the main focus of the show is just the style of wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see the names on the card. You go, oh, it's Noam Dar versus Rich Swann. It's probably going to be a really good match.
Solid match, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably good. Obviously, it's not going to be very long because it's only an hour show.
Yeah.
You go, that's probably going to be 10 to 15 minutes of solid wrestling.
And the thing is with these people is that none of them, show me any card from any episode of 205 Live, and there wouldn't be any match in there where I go, oh, God, not him, or, oh, God, he's terrible, or you know. You look at it and go, yeah, seems good enough.
Yeah,
you know, Jack Gallagher versus
Mustafa
Ali, good match.
Great, and
Lindsay Dorado goes up against Tony Nese. Probably a good match.
Probably going to be solid.
You know, it's fine. You know, and so you've got these things where they've got a great talent of roster, there.
Yeah.
And any match you watch, it's going to be good, and it's going to be a great high flying kind of contest.
Exactly.
Some form or another.
I mean, we jokingly say it's tough to point out good things that 205 Live are doing right.
Yeah.
But I mean, there are some solid points there.
Exactly.
They're doing something right.
Yeah.
There is something.
There is a place
for
it. I think people have been crying out for the Cruiserweight division to return, and it's great that it is return. I just think there are certain things about it that they need to change.
yeah.
Which is why I regret. I don't know if I don't regret it.
No, go on. Don't do what I do.
I don't regret it.
Don't go back on your last point like I do every week. I've been good this week. So I've done all three that are great.
On that point of saying, let's talk about the positives and be, you know, people, you know, crap on it all the time.
Yep.
My final point is the entire concept of 205 Live.
Excellent. All right. Take a giant turd on it.
Basically.
Go on. You have the floor.
Right. So it's a Raw exclusive division, okay. Right?
Yep.
So when it's on Raw... as I said earlier, it needs to be no purple, like, you know, themed ropes and ring mats and screen graphics and all the rest of it, right?
I tick that box as well.
Should all be gone. You, yeah. Right? When it's on Raw, it's Raw. That's the point of it. It's a Raw show. But the thing is that I find the idea of doing the 205 Live show, I think part of it is combining it with this idea that when it's on Raw, it's 205 Live.
Yeah.
Because what it feels like is there's this other thing, 205 Live, with its own roster and its own thing, but for some reason it's being put on Raw. And so I feel like if you're going to do 205 Live, just do 205 Live and make that its own thing.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's kind of across the two things. Is 205 Live a spin-off of Raw?
Yeah, I didn't think of it that way.
But is it or is it not? I mean, yeah. I suppose it is in a way. So it's kind of like... I think they would be much better placed to just say, look, Raw's a 3-hour show. We have the time and whatever to be able to put on some matches and some feuds. If you don't tie it down to saying, this is Cruiserweight stuff, this is 205 Live stuff, then it doesn't need to be limited to only two matches or just two segments. Because, I mean, just remember like Tajiri back in the day when he was walking around, going around with William Regal as commissioner.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like, oh, he's a cruiserweight guy, so he's a light heavyweight guy, so he's just doing light heavyweight stuff. Like, he was getting involved with everyone.
He was doing normal things that wrestlers
would
do.
And the fact is, you can have a cruiserweight division and a cruiserweight title, but not have every cruiserweight only do cruiserweight stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the problems. By having 205 Live, you're separating them out into this other thing.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
Okay.
And I think what they would be better off doing is having, like, an annual CWC.
So, okay, I understand. It's the you've touched on the visual concept of it, so making it look like very different to Raw, and it be basically it being like, oh, it's Cruiserweight time, it's time for the Cruiserweight, instead of it just being Raw.
Yeah.
And it just being like, oh, it's going to be Brian Kendrick versus Lindsay Dorado. So, cool, there you go. It's not like, and now time for the Cruiserweights. It's just a match on Raw. No, I totally understand that. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Because it does feel like they're just sort of trying too hard to say that it's different.
Yeah.
They're not trying hard enough to just say it's part of the show.
Yeah.
I think separating it from the show is a very silly idea. Because I get it. They're trying to promote 205 Live.
I think
but
if,
it's
they,
just,
if
it really
205
just
Live,
belittles the match,
if they
it?
Really want to make 205 Live work best, make it its own thing. And then if you do have 205 wrestlers going on Raw... then mention it. Of course, talk about it. You know, talk about it on Raw. Say, you know, these two guys, Jack Gallagher and Lindsay Dorado, are having a match.
Yeah.
And you can talk about how, like, oh, they're on 205 Live. Make sure you watch 205 Live Wednesday nights live on the network.
Just
before NXT, live from Full Sail. Like, that would be my perfect situation. And they say, you know, we have this other thing, and that's that. And it's over on the network, and it's a network exclusive. But these people are on Raw, and they are Raw superstars. And they're wrestling cruiserweight matches, and you're going, yeah, cool, that's really great. If you want more of this, go and watch it on their network.
Yeah.
And don't make it seem like these people are 205 wrestlers invading Raw. They're just Raw superstars, because everything around them is Raw. And when they're at a pay-per-view, they're equal to the other people on the pay-per-view, because not everything's gone purple, even at a pay-per-view, which that concept just blows my mind.
That annoyed me.
This idea that you watch a pay-per-view match, and visually, looking at the screen from the hard cam, you cannot necessarily tell that it is pay-per-view.
Mm.
It just looks like 205 Live. And so that annoys me no end.
No, I'm with you.
But so I think in total, I just think, like, do an annual tournament. I think it's not so much. I think my initial thought was just to put completely crap on it. And just to say the entire concept of 205 Live is wrong.
Well, could you
I think that's what it's narrowing it down is that if it is this other little kind of side spin-off of Raw, then you say all of those people in the 205 Live show, they're Raw superstars. And so they'll have random matches on Raw. Yeah. And they'll also have random feuds with people on Raw. And not necessarily only be doing 205 Live.
Yeah, so they're not in their own little bubble.
Yeah, so you might end up with a situation where you've got Cedric Alexander getting into a feud with Cesaro, right? That could happen. And that would be a brilliant match, right?
Oh, that would.
But the thing is that you kind of think they wouldn't do that because Cedric Alexander is a 205 Live guy. He's a cruiserweight guy. So it's kind of one of two things.
Yeah, he doesn't touch the heavyweights.
Either make it its own brand and separate completely from Raw.
Yeah.
Or make it what it is, which is just a little spin-off show where you can, oh, if you want a little bit extra of the cruiserweight stuff, check it out on 205 Live. But the main bulk of where the cruiserweight action is Raw.
And what I'm trying to get, I think I get you as well, because that's what they're trying to do. That the latter is what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it as this sort of spin-off show, but it's just being executed so poorly.
Yeah.
But I think your first point about it just being its own separate entity, have it Wednesdays, have it broadcast live, maybe even brand NXT as NXT Live and start moving that into being live. Having that on its own separate day, you will think that would make it more legitimate. I would watch it thinking, this feels like its own thing, rather than it just being, oh, that's sort of the little bubble that's attached to Raw here and there. And they don't really get involved with Raw superstars or anyone on Raw.
No.
I do agree with you. Your point, obviously, read out to me again. It was worded in the best way. It's just everything about 205 Live and everything
these are
ever.
These are my 3 points.
Yeah.
As I wrote them down on my notes. Being after SmackDown, brackets, cruiserweights and Raw exclusive, wrong commentators. Second point. Move it to Florida. Smaller venue, more intimate.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
Yep.
Third point, the entire concept of 205 Live.
I just love that.
Should just be a Raw exclusive division. Remove the purple, then do another CWC, possibly annually.
But
I do think doing an annual CWC, regardless of whether 205 Live stays a thing, doing an annual Cruiserweight Classic would actually be very good. However, they are, I think, doing a women's one this year, aren't they?
I think there is
the equivalent style of tournament.
I really don't know if anything's actually been properly announced of it yet.
It'd be really good if it is.
But yeah, there's been a lot of whispers about there being a women's style tournament.
Maybe if they did a CWC biannually.
Yeah.
So they do a Cruiserweight tournament, then the next year they do a women's tournament, next year Cruiserweight, and they kind of alternate it like that. That'd be cool.
It's also a great way of doing, I mean, on the side note of that, I would love to see another UK Championship tournament.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, but just a UK tournament. That was one of the best things
I've ever
seen. But
there was this talk about them doing an English, a UK show, which I don't. Again, it would be for the same reason, we'd be doing one of these ones about the problems with the WWE UK program and saying, oh, it's the entire concept of them doing a UK only program to me just seems moronic. But the thing is that I think there is a problem where there is a general problem with WWE that they've got far too much content. Like when we were younger, when WWE was really, really popular, they had Raw, it was 2 hours, SmackDown, it was 2 hours. And a pay-per-view once a month.
And then they had Heat.
Yeah, and if you really wanted to get some extra WWE stuff, you had Heat and Velocity. But they were crap,
But even before Velocity, it was just Sunday Night Heat.
Yeah.
And that was it.
But it was fine. And the thing is that I think I look at this stuff and go, they just overfill the network with content. And I think they're oversaturating their own market, which is just a crazy idea.
They are the
market leaders in this, and they are swamping the market with too much content. So I think that may be part of the problem. I think if it had only been Raw and SmackDown and they were both 2 hours long and they went, we're doing this other show 205 Live, I'd be all over it and being like, this is amazing. But when you've got NXT and a 3 hour Raw, and then when there's other things like Main Event and there's Superstars, not that we actually watch them, but they are there as well,
they're still
and then you've got the pay-per-views, and the pay-per-views are four and more hours long.
There's also
a standard pay-per-view is 4 hours long with the 1 hour pre-show.
There's also sometimes...
But they do them twice a month.
Yeah.
And then you've got WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, and SummerSlam, which are all 4 to 5 hour long events with a 2 hour pre-show. And you just think, this is just too much.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit here watching wrestling for seven hours.
Dude, they also sometimes do network specials.
Yeah, just random network specials.
I do like those. But you're right, it just adds to the point that they're just making too much. Mm. There's just too much to watch every week.
But we're getting away from the point.
Yes.
I think my points are valid to some extent. I think I overcooked it with the last one, but I still believe that there is a lot that needs to be done just generally about 205 Live.
And yeah,
its relationship with Raw needs to be properly defined.
It's doing some things right. It's doing a lot wrong.
Yeah.
But things that could easily change, could exactly. easily be fixed. So, yeah, I think, do you know what? I think I'm siding with you again, as always. Changing
as
my mind.
As always.
Yeah. But no, but I stand by my points.
Best booker, Matt. Yeah.
But it is, I stand by my points. It's doing some great things. It's doing some great things and it's doing those right.
Yeah.
There are just issues that need fixing.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening to episode 6 of the Cheap Shot Wrestling Podcast. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at CSWPod. Go to us on YouTube, subscribe there. You can find us there from cswrestlingpodcast.com. Also subscribe on iTunes because we're there as well.
Yep.
Catch us next time and see you again.
We'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.